everyone, Camille here. It's 9 p.m. in Dubai, 6 p.m. in Tunis, and 2 p.m. in Rio de Janeiro. We're live, you're listening to Cosmic, exploring the world of change via the arts. Thank you for tuning in. We're talking to all kinds of artists in season 3 of the show, exploring their secret powers, listening to their vision, learning from their experience on the field, and figuring out what we still need to learn, unlearn, do, undo as change agents, as a society, as humans, standing on this planet far, far away somewhere in the cosmos. A few days ago, I sat down with someone special. Again, I know, I'm very lucky. A very special human being. And if you are tuning in live, you probably already know what this is all about, don't you? Yes, we are going to travel the world of Arabic calligraphy. We're going to look at a specific approach to messaging in unexpected places sometimes. Ladies and gentlemen, El Cid is on Cosmic today. I'm very grateful for this conversation we've had a few days ago because it brought key takeaways to our investigation and inspired pages of new thoughts that I will distill through this episode, but also throughout the coming weeks, our publications and upcoming projects. This exchange was also particularly strong for me because, surprisingly, or not, El Cid and I have a whole layer of culture in common. And yes, we both like Charles Aznavour. For those who don't know El Cid, the best thing to do is to check his works and projects on his website or Instagram profile.
Je vous parle d'un temps que les moins de 20 ans ne peuvent pas connaître. Montmartre en ce temps-là accrochait ses lilas jusque sous nos fenêtres et si l'humble garni qui nous servait de nid ne payait pas de mine. C'est là qu'on s'est connu, moi qui criais famine et toi qui posais nu. La Bohème.
He uses Arabic calligraphy and a distinctive style to spread messages of peace, unity, and to underline the commonalities of human existence. His artwork can be found all over the world and consistently aim at unifying communities and redressing stereotypes.
Dans les cafés voisins, nous étions quelques-uns qui attendions la gloire. Et bien que miséreux, avec le ventre creux, nous ne cessions d'y croire. Et quand quelques bistrots, contre un bon repas chaud, nous prenaient une toile, nous récitions des vers groupés autour du poêle en oubliant l'hiver. La Bohème.
His personal story is quite powerful and naturally feeds into his thinking and the themes he works with today. So that's where we will start. Digging into the backstory. the moment to adjust your headphones and get cozy. We're taking off. Chapter 1, The Quest.
Up in Paris, I never really felt French as a kid, and going back to Tunisia in the summer with the family for the holidays, I didn't really feel Tunisian as well. So I was always struggling between this, am I French, Tunisian?
Ah, si Corneille entendait ça! Oh, la drôle d'histoire que je vais chanter là! Au petit village de Santa Madonna habitait Rodrigue, un brave et bon zigue qui avait du poil sur l'estomac. Son père qui était un roublard et comment, qui n'est pas spilé, qui était un peu feignant, avait la manière de tout lui faire faire en le prenant par les sentiments. Rodrigue, as-tu du cœur?
I hated the fact of you have to fit inside something. You know what I mean? So I never used to dress like everybody back when I was a kid. So and I was never listening to the same music as other people. I used to be on the mainstream thing, but I also had this kind of feeling of going back to the roots really early. So I used to listen to Arabic music, Tunisian music a lot, you know, even classical Tunisian music, you know.
يا ليل 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 يا
I mean, I remember it, but nobody ever asked me about this, the music that I used to listen when I was younger. I will tell you a funny thing, but I used to listen en boucle the bio of Forrest Gump. You know, so I don't know why, because it was so, there was Elvis Presley, Mrs. Robinson, Sweet Home Alabama, but weird thing that if people like of my age at this time, my friend knew I was listening to this, they're like, hey, man, what's wrong with you? Like, no, you're getting crazy.
اذهب في ساق مولا يوديه مدة زمانه فوق الحنة خلخان مورق لي
I have this memory of a really racist insult from a guy when I was coming back from high school. Still remember that. I was, I think, 14 or 13, something like that. And then going back in Tunisia, like in the summer, people used to call us the Chez nous là-bas, you know, Chez nous là-bas, which means at home there. And then I thought I needed to choose between being French or Tunisian. And looking at my face in the mirror, I think I look more than somebody called Mohamed and somebody called Jean-Jacques.
Folie de l'espace, peur de la nuit absolue, du silence absolu, de l'absolu d'un univers sans commencement ni fin? Non, non.
Sur un coin infime de l'univers courbe, un paradis a été créé. Un instant détourne le regard sur les étoiles et leur lumière. Des millions de vies possibles autour de la Terre. Dire qu'ils croyaient à la platitude de la planète. Ceux qui parlaient de serre ont perdu la tête. À travers cela, on a réalisé l'insanité, les vanités, les folies de l'humanité. Et tous savaient que rien ne se perd dans l'univers. Pas de disparition de matière. De Démocrite à Mendeleïev, 2000 ans. Un classement, le tableau périodique des éléments. Les molécules, structures atomiques, donnent matière minérale et organique. La vie est née de l'infiniment petit. Et l'homme prend conscience seulement aujourd'hui que ce qu'il y a dans son corps ressemble étrangement au système solaire et aux astres brillants. Des frissons me parcourent en fixant et scrutant au ralent. Je m'incline prisonnier du 7 et contient le corps.
Sambari Kol Mohamed, Sambari Kol Jean-Jacques.
La douce sur ma touch, on nous connaît la bande rouge à la star qui hatch. Jamais la vue que l'on guérit qu'aussi malin que la coupe à la mare, les Pascal et les Rasta, les armes sur François et Joe. Déjà à la danse à côté de personne ne touchait une mille. On danse le mille.
Changer symbole des régions septentrionales, issu d'une philosophie restée dans les annales. Bien longtemps, sais-tu, pendant des siècles, il conversa avec ce qu'il y avait derrière le ciel. La vérité ne se trouve qu'à l'intérieur de soi, mais l'homme a détruit son véritable moi. Régi par les lois du matérialisme, décomposant l'univers comme le ferait un prisme avec la lumière que l'on refuse de toucher. Car il est clair qu'il faut vouloir pour essayer élever sa spiritualité, intérieurement chercher à s'éveiller. L'univers subit un dérèglement croissant. On oublie que notre rôle est important. Comment parler d'harmonie avec les énergies suprêmes lorsqu'on est en total désaccord avec soi-même? Que l'on se blottit sous l'aile de la compassion ou sous l'anthropomorphisme d'une religion. Nous étions censés maintenir une symbiose en fait. Nous avons trahi le cosmos.
Chaque être a une place dans l'espace, et le vide est comme une grande glace. La vie est immobile.
You know when somebody attacks you on one part of your identity, you're gonna claim it more, you know what I mean? In France, people used to, in the 90s, used to clash us about the fact that we're like, oh, Arab people, you Arab people, you Arab people. This Arab thing, you know, like, ah, you're attacking me on my Arab part, I'm gonna claim it this more. And then early 2000, we had this kind of religious awakening in the, like, we never heard about religion before, you know. Me as a Muslim people person, I never heard, went to a mosque, you know. My parents, they were not religious. So I discovered religion actually in France, you know. So, and so when people start attacking you on this identity, you know, even if you're not religion, but you know, this is part of your identity. To claim my religiousness, I need to wear an outfit, you know.
Benny B, B-E-2-N-Y-B. Mon nom à moi c'est Benny B, oui tu l'as deviné. Comme toi je veux la justice, j'essaie de défendre les droits. Partout où tu vois la foule, c'est qu'on parle de moi. Je descends des quartiers, soi-disant maltraitantés, où la fichouille passe trois quarts de la journée. Et j'en ai marre de tout ça, j'en ai marre de cette villa. Et pour sortir de cet appart, je ferai n'importe quoi.
Mais vous êtes fou,
oh oui.
Mais vous êtes fou. Mais vous êtes fou,
oh oui.
Mais vous êtes fou.
Identity is not only one layer, you know, it's a... It's made than more than one layer. And in France, we had this issue that either you're Tunisian or Algerian or Moroccan or like Malian or Senegalese or wherever you're from, either you're French. You know, you cannot be this mixed, and this is totally wrong. I thought that I needed to make this choice, so I decided to dig into my Arabic roots, learn how to read and write Arabic, because I felt that was a shame for me to not speak Arabic. I used to speak Tunisian dialectal, but I didn't know how to read and write Arabic. And then it's later that I started discovering Arabic calligraphy, you know, but I was already into graffiti, but not in a serious way. I was more like a b-boy guy than dancing more than painting. Into calligraphy, the more I was discovering, reading books about Arabic culture and about colonialism, and and discovering where I was from, and where I am and what I am today. The more I realized that I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing today if I was not French as well. My approach to calligraphy is really kind of organic. I didn't know, in a classical Arabic calligraphy, there is rules that you need to respect, and you call yourself a calligrapher if you learn calligraphy from a master, who learned from a master, and you go like 1,400 years back, And because of that, because I didn't know there were rules, me, I was playing with the letters, I was extending them, curving them, and without noticing it, I was creating my own style. She's inspired from classical calligraphy, and then this helped me actually to reconcile my French and Tunisian culture. And then today I use it as a tool, you know, to build those bridges between culture, between people. And I realized that Arabic calligraphy has this universal beauty that you don't need to translate, you know. I don't want to translate it. I think if somebody is interested to it, they will make the step to understand what it means, you know? And then I was also, I didn't want to break the, you know, it's calligraphy, it's not typography, so I didn't want to break the poetry of it. We should look at this art as music, you know? Like sometimes you understand music and you don't understand the lyrics, but there is a melody that speaks to your soul.
Yep.
And I, for me, like Arabic script is the same thing.
ندير الكوراج ونعطيها تليفون هلا لا هلا لا دايتني الامريكان وسوق في كاديا هلا لا هلا لا دايتني الامريكان وسوق في لاسيكا كليك يا بن عم جاية خايف تضحك ليا قلبي تحيا وبار أنا صغير وبغيت ندير النية مات لعينية ودت كل شي هلا لا هلا لا دايتني الميريكان وصوف في كالياك هلا لا هلا لا دايتني الميريكان وصوف في لافيكاس يا بن عمي هاد الشي رجاية هزي نزي نعقل كيدوك العربيات قلبي قلبي نخطفو حيالية ندير الكوراج ونعطيها تليفون هلا لا هلا لا دايتني الميريكان وصوف في كاليا هلا لا هلا لا دايتني الميريكان وصوف في لافيكاس هلا لا هلا لا دايتني الميريكان وصوف في كاليا هلا لا هلا لا دايتني الميريكان وصوف في لافيكاس جات عند الظهر ندرنا لنا في ليلة تكلم فيك وانا تعلمون فيها تحكوا عليا تبن عمي وش تبيني وبيكون جات عندي وهر انو درنا ليلة في ليلة تكلمت فيك وانا تعلمون فيها تحكوا عليا يا ابن عمي وش تبيني وبيكون هلا لا هلا لا دايتني الميريكان وصوف في كاليا هلا لا هلا لا دايتني الميريكان وصوف في لاس فيغاس هلا لا هلا لا دايتني الميريكان وصوف في كاليا هلا لا هلا لا دايتني الميريكان وصوف في لاس فيغاس
From this identity quest, then this kind of cultural ambassador of my culture, I move to something which is, I think, a kind of a bridge builder. I don't know how people define my work, but I think it's more using art as a pretext, you know. And I think Arabic calligraphy now is just a background tool that I use. That's it.
As you know, many artists travel the world to go and paint murals or set up installations in cities, in communities. We've talked about it already in previous episodes. What we can say is that there are different ways of approaching these opportunities, right? Different intentions as well, from one artist to another. And El Cid often talks about art as a pretext for a human experience. And this is what I want to cover here. We started talking about purpose, impact, why works gets commissioned, how NGOs typically operate, how to deal with sensitive topics and taboos in choosing the messages to paint.
You know, people sometimes they want to create a change, but they forget the human side of it. You know what I mean? You have to be on the ground.
Chapter 2, The Human Experience.
Level, you know, I'm not an NGO. I do my work. You know, I try to do it the best way that I could do it. I never call myself an activist, but people mention me, like introduce me sometimes as an activist. I don't know what does that mean actually, activist, and then people even put me artivist. You know, it sounds super cool. Sometimes it takes 6 months, you know, to find the right phrase that will match exactly. And when you talk about taboo or, you know, the hot potato, there's also the person that you quote, you know, like, because most of the time I quote people from a neighborhood or people from a city or a country. And you have to make sure that this person as well is not subversive. I mean, there's not like a dark side of him that we don't know. You study, so sometimes like you have to read the full bio, and then you're like, oh, this guy did this at this time, so I cannot use this guy because people would jump on me after. Like a thin line, you know, I need to find the right words, and then you speak with the people, you know, like you, for example, when we did this project between North and South Korea, I used a North Korean writer, you know, but the guy passed away before the separation, so he was like Korean, you know, so his words became a folkloric song in South Korea, you know, and for me that was so cool because you use the word of North Korean that is geographically North Korean in South Korea, and people, me, I thought I was like, maybe that's a hot potato, and people are like, no, thank you so much for doing this. How do you enter a place, you know, like this is so dangerous, you know, to to go to a place and think that you're coming and you're bringing something cooler than what those people are already doing, you know. So you have to come with such a like humble step. Part of the acceptance from the this side, I mean the community side, is when you bring something that they're like, oh, wow, how come you know about this guy? You know what I mean? And they're like so happy. Me, I remember one of the priests, you know, from the community, not the one who approved the project, the like a guy under him. He was like, he came to me at the end, he was like, you're Muslim? I said, yes. He's like, I'm so intrigued and happy that you use something from our culture. I was like, of course, you know, I'm painting in your neighborhood, so it's important that I write something from you, you know, and I make sure that you can relate to it. And that's what is important, to make sure that you people, they see that you value them. And I think that's the most important part. When you go to a place, you have to show people that you're giving them the importance, you know, and they're more important than you, you know, and they don't need you. Like nobody, I'm telling you, if I didn't do the project in Cairo, nothing would have changed in their life. They would just have like less guests at their kids' wedding. That's it.
I asked El Cid what drives him, and the killer question, what he thinks of impact reporting. which is often what organizations commissioning such work want to see after the project is delivered. Chapter 3, Impact Modeling and the Artist Image.
Human experience, for rediscovering our common humanity, for highlighting places, communities, for fun sometimes, you know, like by fun I don't mean like the fun of going to a party, but the fun of like seeing, going to places and like say like, wow, actually I met this guy, like, you know, when I will tell you about this project we did in Egypt, but you know, like it was out of this world what we lived there, you know, so and that's the fun part of it. They love to put numbers. Oh, what is the impact? How do you measure the impact of your project? And I'm like, how do you want me to measure what? You know, I went, I painted inside the garbage city. We made a family now, so like we know almost half of the people there. When I go there, like I feel like I'm at home. You know, I'm invited to wedding. People, they call me to ask if my family is good. How do you measure the impact? I don't know this. Yes, there is like maybe way more people that come visit the church now. What more that I can add? We met friends. People are happy. We've been invited to weddings.
À partir de cet instant, la liberté sera quelque chose de vivant et de transparent. Et sa demeure sera pour toujours le cœur de l'homme.
Because you like doing it. You know, me as an artist, each project is a new challenge, it's a new experience. So, of course, you have this selfish intention. I want to go there. I want to see that from my eyes. I want to be there. It's also, what is your intention behind the project? Why do you do... I mean, I always like ask myself and have like this kind of inside fight all the time, you know, because sometimes you do a project and then like you have so much coverage, and then I think like perception, we didn't think it would be like as crazy as it went everywhere, you know, like and then maybe your intention changed and you're like, oh, why I'm doing this? I'm doing that for the fame, I'm doing it for actually the love of art, I'm doing it for the community. And that's why then you have to switch your intention. I'm like, oh, No, I don't care about this fame thing, because this is so ephemeral. Like, in 2 weeks, I'm not gonna be the hot trend on Twitter.
Oh, we build a real relationship with those people? How can we nurture this? And that's what we did with Perception. We made a book, a collector edition that we sold. We had like 500 pieces that we sold for like, for a book, it's a collector book, so we sell it for $700. But with the money of the book, we managed to co-produce with a friend of mine a movie that will be out this year. And we're building a park inside the community. A park for the kids close to the church on the mountain. Ego, you know, and the ego is like, when this is fed, you're like, maybe I'm a good person, you know, and so you want people to hear that you're a good person. I think that's what, as a human being, but then what's your real intention? You did it for the sake of being helpful and being in this a solidar person, or do you do it because you want people to like you and to comment and repost and say, hey, man, this is great? So It's difficult, and then so that's why I'm a kind of schizophrenic person sometimes, because I have this weird fight in my head about, you know, like why I'm doing this. And it's difficult, huh? It's difficult. Then democratization, I think it's important for me as an artist, you know, this kind of responsibility to make sure that art is not this kind of elitist thing, you know. I faced it many times, you know, before then, you know, where you feel you're not welcome in this elite circle of art, you know. I'm sure like in the suburb of Paris or like in some remote village in Tunisia or anywhere in the world, you have the next Picasso. But because this is not fed, you know, nobody give him the opportunity to see that this is possible, to live from your art, to go and sit with an artist, you know, I think we're just wasting a lot of beautiful opportunities. Love at some point to that, I don't know, the next Basquiat say, you know, when I was 8 I went to the LCD studio, like LCD came to my school. You know, I would be so happy. You know, and that's, I think this is important for me. And I always try to not do what people did to me. I am one of the biggest artists from my world, I would say, who even refused to take a picture of me like more than 10 years ago. You know, and then. Yeah, it was funny to see that, you know, and I was like, I will never be like this guy. So I try to be accessible. I try to respond to everybody online as much as I can, you know, and that's why I'm also starting this new live thing, because I did one recently and I felt like some people told me, thank you, we needed it. So I will try to be more available. To art, you know, we're democratizing it because we can see it more in the street. I have a lot of people, they don't feel comfortable entering inside the gallery, you know, like, because like inside the gallery you have this woman behind her desk who look at you, is like, I don't know who she is, she's this person is going to buy something or not, and you know, and so it's always like related to money. That's the problem. That's what is important. It's important to give access to art. I always intervene inside school, you know, as much as I can. My daughter, she's 12, she's doing a project on you with her team schoolmate. I can then interview on Zoom. I'm like, okay. So we have a meeting on the, I think at 3 p.m. on the 12th, you know, so it's fun.
لما عيون الناس وانا عندي لك احساس صار الصبايا ترقص والشباب يتهمس الاسطواني تدور وانا قلبي فيك مسحور حبيبي انا ولا بالصغر ولطلوع الندى يروس تحت القمر حبيبي انا بيني وبين وتر نظرة بالوما ورقصة ما لا اطر ضبيا بين الغزلان ترقص لا وحدة راشاك تشسمه عاتمة في بسمة ضبيا بين الغزلان صادت نبسامة نار بقلبي تحمى وتشعل وهمة ضبيا بين الغزلان ترقص لا وحدة راشاك تشسمه عاتمة في بسمة ضبيا بين الغزلان صادت نبسامة نار بقلبي تحمى وتشعلني بوهمة حبيبي أنا مولع بالصغر ولطلوع الندى يروس تحت القمر حبيبي أنا بيني وبين وتر نظرة بالوما ورقصة ما لا أطر
Basically this is what we do. We not doctors, we not nurse, we're not like a war reporter, we're not on, you know, we apply colors in a certain way for people to enjoy it.
And people enjoy it very, very much. You will appreciate El Cid's humbleness here. To his point, it seems that this humbleness is much, much needed in both the art space and in the impact sector, where the structures are quite problematic sometimes. There's a form of colonialism or a form of imperialism that is making a growing number of people uncomfortable. What is the intention, right, of a project, really? How do you deal with money, the impact reporting? What is this project creating in practice, and for who? I'm ending with this track called Ouverture because we're not done talking about this. I'm sure you will agree, El Cid was the guest of choice for opening this conversation. And even if, ironically, he describes this as applying colors in a certain way for people to enjoy it, after checking out his previous projects, you will see how far he goes into highlighting communities into highly contextualized messaging combined with masterful execution and poetry, really. Like if those paintings came straight from somewhere else in outer space. A kind of cosmic quote or poem that speaks to your soul.
There is something that is so special about Arabic script that I think made it so special, and that's why maybe I think there is something sacré, you know, like that's beyond us, you know. So actually, I think it's cosmic, yeah.
Thank you to El Cid for this cosmic moment we spent together. It was really important to talk about this. Thank you to Inam Gbewonyo for introducing us. If you haven't listened to our previous episode featuring Inam, I highly recommend it. Thank you to Etienne Previtali for support with music and sounds. We traveled all around Maghreb, France, and the Middle East today. I wanted to play those tracks for a long time, and it was so good. Thank you. And thank you for tuning in. You know what to do if you like what you've heard. Speak to you next week. Ciao.